Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome back to today's Daf, which is Psachim Memvav. We are on Mem Hayam Beis, four lines from the bottom. Going back to the Mishnah, which taught us that if a person should find some pieces of dough embedded inside his kneading bowl, so inside the Sid Ki Areva, in the cracks of this kneading trough, Mishnah told us it depends how large these pieces are. If they're kazayis or larger, then he has to remove them before Pesach. They're not bottled to the bowl. If they're smaller than a kazayis, they're bottled to the bowl. We learned yesterday they serve as a reinforcement to plug the holes and fill up the cracks. They're part and parcel of the bowl material. There's no concern regarding chametz. The Mishnah continued. We'll start four lines from the bottom of the Amud. V'chein le'inyan tuma. The same thing applies to tuma. We have some dough embedded inside this bowl. Im makbed alav chaitz. If the owner is makbed, he's particular about the presence of this dough, he's going to remove it. Then it's not considered as part of the kli. It's considered food. It's a separate entity, and it's chaitz. Simple meaning would be that if he's toivel his bowl, this dough gets in the way. It presents a concern, a chatzitza concern, a barrier between the water and the kli. Vim roitzeh b'kiyumei, but if he wants it to remain in place, then it's bottled to the kli. Harei kareva, it's considered like part and parcel of this bowl. It's no longer considered eichel, it's considered kli. And does not pose a chatzitza concern. Says Rami Dami, how are the two things comparable? You begin discussing Pesach, which is dependent on the size criterion. Kazayis is a concern, less than kazayis is bottled. Then you proceed with tuma, where it's unrelated to size, rather to attitude and makbid or not makbid. Midami. Hosam b'shi'ura talimosu. Over there by Pesach, the beginning of the Mishnah, depends on size. Hacha b'kpeida talimosu. Here by tuma, you're telling me it's unrelated to size. Depends if the person's makbid or not. It's totally up to the, depending on the mindset and the attitude. So even if it's a large size piece of chametz, if it's not makbid, it's batal. So why does the Mishnah compare the two things? V'chein. Two things seem to be unrelated. Amar Yehuda, you're right. Ema, interpret the Mishnah as follows. Ulinin atuma eina kein. You're right. Tuma does not follow the same guidelines. Chametz is size-based. Tuma is attitude-based. Amar Abaye, v'ho v'chein linin tuma k'tani. So the Abaye, but look at the Mishnah. It says v'chein linin tuma. Apparently, they're both one and the same. Ela Amar Abaye, hachikama. This is what the Mishnah means to say. There are two parts to tuma. Number one, v'chein le'inyan tziruf tuma b'pesach. And when it comes to the concept of imitzaref, we're going to see soon what this means. With respect to tuma, if it's on Pesach, then it works with the same guidelines as the beginning of the Mishnah. It's size-based. So if it's a kazayis, it has significance. But when it comes to the same halacha with respect to the rest of the year, non-Pesach, then it depends on if he's makbid or not. It's not size-based, rather it's mindset-based. What are we speaking about? Let's explain ourselves. So we have a food item which has less than a share kibetz. We know that it cannot be metame, something else. Food which is tame cannot transmit tumah unless it has a shir kibetz. So we have less than a kibetz. But, v'nogu b'hai batzik. It came into contact with this piece of dough embedded inside his bowl. What we're trying to do is reach a total shir of a kibetz. We want to join them together so that the batzik inside the areva will complete the shir of the oichel, give it a shir kibetz, and then allow it to be metame, something else. So how do we treat the dough inside this bowl? Is it food? Or is it wood? Is it bottled to the wood? It depends. But Pesach, depends on what time of the year we're speaking about. Pesach, we work with different guidelines than the rest of the year. Why? But Pesach, the Yisurei, Chashuv, the fact that a kazayis of dough creates Isser, you have to remove it, as we learned in the beginning of the Mishnah, that makes it Chashuv, due to its Isser. It has prominence, significance, because you have to reckon with it. Mitzdarf. So during Pesach, since a kazayis has significance, due to the chi of bir on a kazayis, in the Areva. Right? That was the halacha in the beginning of the Mishnah. If you have a kazayis of dough in the Areva, for Pesach, you have to be concerned, you have to remove it. So that itself grants it chashivas. Being that that's the case, you consider it like oichel, it's separate from the kli, and it's darf. It can join with the other oichel to complete its shir. You have two parts of a kibetza, of food. Now you have a total of a kibetza. I can be matami. So this is the example. This is the tumah example the Mishnah is referring to. V'cheinu netumah is speaking about creating a tziruf between one piece of food, connecting with this dough inside the areva. Can they connect? Can they complete each other and make a shir of kibetza? Is this dough considered food? And to what extent? What shir is needed to make it food? So on Pesach, we work with the shear of a kazayis. That gives it significance. It needs to be removed. A kazayis is considered oichel. So if it's a shear kazayis, it can join with the other piece of food and have a total of a kibbutz. However, b'shoyim is hashana throughout the rest of the year. When this concept doesn't apply, there's no biruchamis, there's no significance. The b'kpeda talimos. During the rest of the year where it depends on kpeda, then it's totally mindset dependent. If the owner is makbid, wants to remove this piece of dough, it doesn't belong on my bowl, then it's not considered a kli, it's not considered part of the wood, it's considered oichel. Then it can be mitzarf with the other oichel to create a kibetz. If he wants it to remain in place, then it's considered kli. It's regarded like the areva, and we don't treat it like food. So Bryce approaches that. Let's just follow the literal wording of the Mishnah. Yeah, this concept of a kazayis applies to tumah as well. On Pesach, a kazayis has chashivas and is regarded like oichel due to the fact that it has to be removed from this kli. The Mishnah continues, relating to makbid and a makbid, that relates to the rest of the year. So then, it depends on his attitude. If he wants it removed, it's considered food. If he wants it to remain in place, it's considered a kli. Perhaps, let's see Rashi inside. Starting from the top of the Amud. So Abayi says, L'inyan tziruf tumah, k'dem farash v'ozl, as the Mosul will explain, the Pesach talimus v'shiuri. During Pesach, it's shir, size dependent. V'shari mas hashon ikaplukt. Throughout the rest of the year, then it depends. Chiluk b'makbid, shein ha-makbid. V'ayin etan ha-seif, v'makbid olof. That explains the next part of the mission. Makbid applies to the rest of the year. So what's the case of tziruf? Continues Rashi. Dikapachas mekabetza oichlen, denoga b'haybatzik, Hadovik bariva. You have a piece of oichel, which is less than a kibetza, which touched the dough inside the areva. V'nogaben tumah. And now a tumah touched this combination. V'tami, they became tami. V'hador, nogaben oichel toirim. And then some toir food came into contact with this combo, with the oichel that's touching the dough. So it depends. What size does that dough have to be considered food and not part of the bowl? But Pesach. The Isur Chametz Mechashvoy Voyseo Choshev. On Pesach, when the Isur Chametz gives it Chashivas, it's a detriment, it's a negative identity, but it's a Chashivas. Hoyle Kazayis Husker Li Choshev Li Isur Chametz. Since, with respect to Isur Chametz, a Kazayis was set as the guideline, Li Batal Gabi Areva, Kadisani Rish, as Mishnah told us, Hashta Li Nitumanami Li Batal Gabi Areva. Therefore, when it comes to tumah as well, it works along the same rules. A kazayis has chashivas on Pesach and is not considered part of the areva, umitzdarav lashlam kabeitza, and can complete the shir kabeitza of the other food because this too is regarded as food and not as kli. Avgalei makvid olav umetamis achir. Even though he's not makvid, he doesn't mind if it remains in place and helps to reinforce his kli and prevent leakage. Still, if it's a kazayis, which Pesach mandates its removal, it has chashivas, has oichel status, and can be mashlim the shir kibetz. However, b'shoyim ha'is hashana, t'lech l'meim ha'isurich yishuvay, throughout the rest of the year, you don't have this concept, that the isur makes it chashiv. Then it depends on the person's mindset. B'kpeh detali melsa. Im makbid alav mitzdarif. If he's makbid, he doesn't want it there. He wants to remove it from his kli. Then it's mitzdarif to the other food to complete the shir. Why? To chashiv oichel, because it's considered oichel. Hoyil v'seif elitle. Because he's going to end up removing it. But if he intends on leaving it there, then it's not considered oichel. Maskef l'Rava. Says Rava, miktani mitzdarf. Where do you find the term tziruf in our Mishnah? Well, chaytetz katani. Mishnah says if he's makbid, it's chaytetz. How do you get tziruf in the picture? Elamar Rava, he switches things around a bit. He's following with a biased approach that there are two aspects to tumah. There's the Pesach guideline and the rest of the year guideline. But he switches around the scenario, the application. Elamar Rava, b'chila halis tar la'reva. We're speaking that the Areva became tummy, and he wants to give it tahara, wants to be toivled. That explains why the Mishnah refers to it as chatzitza. The question is the dough greater chatzitza? Hechidami, what's the example? Kigoyin di tamei achareva, this bowl became tummy. Uboilat puli, wants to be toivled, with its dough intact. So, does it pose a chatzitza concern? But Pesach, the Yisuri Choshev. So it depends. On Pesach, we work with shir, with kazayis. Because on Pesach, the Isur makes it choshev. Choytetz, so if you have a kazayis, and it's on Pesach, that creates a chatzitza. It's not considered part and parcel of the kli. V'leisakal etfilah. And the tefillah is not effective. B'shayim mois hashana, throughout the rest of the year. Well, you don't have this iser factor. Then it depends on his mindset. B'kpei detalimus. Im makbil of chaitzitz. If he's makbid, he objects to the presence of this dough. Then it's not considered kli, it's considered food. And it creates a chatzitza. V'im roitza b'kiyuma, if he wants it to remain in place, then it's considered kli. Harayuka reva, it's considered like part of the areva. So basically, Rava followed in line with Abaye. And the Mishnah here is applying two separate guidelines when it comes to tum. On Pesach, it's size dependent, because that's connected with the Isser, that gives the Chashivas. And the Shai Mois Hashana, it's Kpeda dependent. But he's learning that it's applied to being Toivel, the Kli in a Mikvah, a Kli which was already Tummy. Maskev Rapop, so Rapop asked, Miktani Vichinli Netahara? Does the Mishnah say, V'cheinin in Tahara, according to you, it should have said it that way? Same concept applies to Tahara, trying to be Tevil, to be Matar, a Kli which was Tami. He doesn't say that. Rather, Ha, Linin Tumah Katani. Mishnah says, V'cheinin in Tumah. So apparently, we're referring to a different application. Elamar Papa. So again, he's following the same general rule, general approach to the Pshat Mishnah, that Pesach has one din, it's size dependent, and the rest of the year works according to Kpeda, but it has a different application, slightly different application. V'chein le'inin lo'hirud tumah la'areva. We're speaking about tumah. V'chein le'inin tumah. Whether or not we can apply tumah to the areva. What does that mean? Hey chidami, what is the example here? Kigoyin denoga sheretz v'aybasak. You have a bowl with dough marks, and the sheretz, which is tummy, came into contact, not with the actual wall of the bowl, but touched the dough embedded in the wall. The question is, did the bowl become tummy? Did the sheretz come into contact with the bowl via the dough? Is the dough considered part of the kli or not? So it depends. The Pesach, the Isuri Choshev, if it's on Pesach, where the Isur gives it Chashivas, so then the Kazayis is considered a separate entity, because it has to be removed, not considered part of the Kli. Chaitzitz. That creates a barrier between the Sheretz and the Kli. The Kli is not Tumah. Only the dough is Tumah, not the Kli. And Tumah did not descend on the Kli. B'shayim es Hashana, however, throughout the rest of the year, the B'kpei the Talimus. Over there, it's a mindset criterion. So if he's makbid on it, he wants to remove that dough, then it's not considered part of the Kli. And it creates that chatzitza between the sheretz and the kli. The sheretz touched the dough, but not the kli. Dough is food. It's not kli, because he never considered it to be part of his kli. Imroitza b'kiyumai, however, if he wants it to remain in place, he doesn't intend on removing that dough. Harayuka areva, and the dough is one and the same with the areva. The sheretz that touched the dough is as though he touched the areva, and the areva is tummy. So in summation, Mishnah tells us that this concept, same concept that applies to Pesach, with the dough found in the Areva, will apply to Tumah. And we basically have three approaches. We have Abaye, we have Rava, and Rav Papa. They're all based on the same premise, that on Pesach, it's size related. A kazayis of dough has significance because of its Isser. Throughout the rest of the year, we work based on Kpeda. Is he makbid? then it's considered a separate entity. If he's not makbid, it's batal to the kli. The only difference is, according to Abaye, the application was regarding tziruf. According to Rava, regarding being toivel as bol, and whether this thing is considered chatzitza. According to our papa, regarding being matama the bol by touching the dough, is it considered part of the bowl or is it not? Continues the Mishnah. Batzik acherish, deaf, a deaf dough, as she says, that it's slightly pale and hadn't yet exhibited signs of chimetz. So, should we suspect that it's chametz or not? Im yesh kayetzibay shechmetz. If you could compare it with another dough that was prepared within the same time frame, so let's say both doughs are 20 minutes old, and you can compare one to the other, and the other one, you see clearly, is already chametz. If there's something similar to it, shehechmetz, which already turned into chametz, hareza asar, then this dough as well is asar. Says the Gemara, ein sham kayetzibay mao. What if we have nothing like it to compare it to? So what is the halacha there? Amar avo, amar b'shem melakish. You give it enough time. This is the 18-minute rule. So below that time limit, you can assume it's still okay. But past that, you have to be choshesh that it's chametz. So what's the cutoff point? Kedei sheyelech adam migdal nunya tferya mil. If this dough was produced a while ago, with enough time having passed to allow a person to travel from Migdal Nunya to Tveria, which is a mil, 2,000 amma, then we have to be choshesh that it's already chametz. And this is assumed to be 18 minutes. So 18 minute old dough is asur. V'neima mil. So why doesn't he simply say a mil? Why describe these locations and the distance between them? Haka mashmon is coming to teach us. Give us a formula which you can apply to all times. The shiur de mil. What is the shear of mil? Take a look at the distance between this town and the other, and you know that it's a mil. So it's an easy way to remember. If you forget what a mil is, just take a look at the distance there, and you know what a mil is. Amar avo, amar b'shem malakish. So the Gemara is going to bring another halacha from the same on the Amar, avo, b'shem malakish, who tells us like this. Legavel uletfila, uletil sedaim, arbo amilan. A person is required to travel a distance of 4 mil, so 4 times 2,000 amma, for the following three reasons. Legavel, Rashi describes this as a person who was hired to knead. He's a kneader. He was hired to produce some dough, vitahara, for a baal bayis. Now, if it so happened that the kalim there are tame, and he committed himself to do it vitahara, he has to go find a mikvah. He has to walk up until 4 mil to find a mikvah, to be matar those kelim. But if it's beyond 4 mil, he's not required unless he gets paid extra. But if it's beyond 4 mil, he's allowed to, he had the option of breaking that commitment. Taisus and Chulin learns differently. He learns that the halacha is that a person has to do his, make his dough, produce his dough b'tahara, presumably to keep it tar, so the chalas tar. And if you can access a person, a gavel, a person who would need dough b'tahara within 4 mil, then you must travel to find that person. That's the first item on the list, legavel. Ule tefila, a person must travel 4 mil to find a minyan. Ule tilsadayim, or to find water to wash his hands prior to eating. So all these halachis have one common denominator, the 4 mil requirement. Amar Nachmar Yitzchak, Aivu Amra. It actually wasn't Rabbi Avoh who said it, was Aivoy. Farbo Amarbo. There was actually another item on the list, a fourth item. V'chadu Menayu Ibud. And the other one is Ibud, which is also connected to the 4 mil rule. This Nan, the Kulan Sheibdan, was speaking about various skins which are regarded like flesh and they're metame, they're considered like oichel. But should he go ahead and process them? He processed them. Or he walked on them. They were trampled upon. The shear of kedei avoida is considered sufficient to process them. Tired. Going forward, they're no longer regarded as basar, they're not matame. It's considered to be bottle, from its ichel status, it's considered like hard, like leather. Chutz mo'ir adam, except for human skin, chacham made gzera that it always remained tummy. Now, we had a term, kedei avoida, the amount necessary to make it processed. V'kama kedei avoida, what is that? How much trampling does it need? Amar rav aivui, amar rav yanai, kedei hiluch abo amilin. It was trampled enough for enough time that would take a person to walk 4 mil, which is presumed to be around 72 minutes. So 18 is a mil, so 4 times 18 is 72 minutes. So if this skin was trampled upon for 72 minutes, it's considered processed and does no longer has a din of flesh. So we have another application to the din of 4 mil. So in total we have 4. We have 2 pertaining to a person on the road. You must go find a minion to walk 4 mil. When it comes to the tilsedaim, person's on the road, he has no water, 4 mil. When it comes to the gavel, kneading that dough, that has nothing to do with a traveler. It's just a straightaway din that a person has to go and find a way to be matarit. And certainly the concept of trampling has nothing to do with traveling. Amar Rabbi Yezir Chanina, lo yishanu. This halacha pertaining to the traveler, those two cases, the tefillah and until sadaim, we require him to travel 4 mil. That's only elu lefanav. He's on the road and he knows he can access a shul within 72 minutes going forward. Or he can find water up ahead on the road. So he has to travel 4 mil because he's not losing much in any case. He's traveling in that direction regardless. That's why he's a chiv of 4 mil. Avala achrav. But in these cases, a person is traveling. He's looking for a minion or he needs water. And he doesn't have anything up ahead on the road. Rather, it's behind him. He has to reverse direction, go back. Afilu mil eni chayzer. And even if it's a mil away, there's no chiv to be matriachim to travel and lose ground. Amar bacha umina. And from this statement of Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, we can learn mil hu deini chayzer. Yeah, he doesn't have to go back. He doesn't have to go a mil out of his way. Ha pachas mil chayzer. But if it's only less than a mil away, then he has to do it, even if it's out of his way. So conclusion, we learned 4 halachas pertaining to the shear of Arba'o Milan. We had the gavel. So according to Rashi, this fellow who was hired to produce tahir dough, he has to get out, go find a mikvah. If he knows it's within 4 mil. We learned regarding trampling on that skin, kedei avoida, if it was trampled upon for the shear of 72 minutes, shear 4 mil, it's no longer considered basar, it's not metame, it's considered leather. We learned 2 halachas regarding a traveler. The person's on the road and he knows that there's a minion up ahead. He has to travel to find that minion if it's within 4 mil. Same thing regarding tilsadayim. If it's behind him, he needs to go out of his way, then only if it's within a mil. Now the Chavetz Chaim in Bir Halacha writes that we speak about 1 mil and 4 mil, which is a distance formula, but in reality, it's really a time frame. It says today we could travel faster than used to. So their mill took 18 minutes to walk. But by us, it could take perhaps a couple of seconds. So he says it's really a time-based formula. We speak about needing to find a minion within 4 mil. What it means to say is within 72 minutes of traveling. Ula achrav, within a mil, means to say within 18 minutes. So it's a time-based formula. When we speak about matzah, it needs to be under 18 minutes. And that's considered for us a shear mil. Continues the Mishnah. How is one meant to separate the challah portion of the dough on yomtiv if the dough happens to be tummy? What's the problem? Let's see Rashi. Rashi has 5 lines from the bottom, right in the middle of that first wide line. Masnisin. Ketzad mafrish and chal batum. Shenit mesaisa. The dough got tummy. Vishuv ein chala. Hanetels mimena. Rui lachilas kain. And the chala portion will no longer be suitable for the kain. He can't eat chala tmeya. So how do we go about it? Ketzad mafrish and oisa biyamtiv. Shal pesach. We're speaking about pesach, of course. Why? What's wrong? Hare ein yochal lefois. He can't go ahead, once he separates the challah, he can't take that challah, which is tummy, and bake it. Why? Because it's not roi for anybody. It's useless. Machash ain't a roi l'achila. You can't just go and bake something unnecessarily. So leave it alone till after Yom Tov, till Chol Hamoed, then burn it. Now you can't do either because it's going to become chametz. To burn it now, feed it to a dog, you can't do either. One can't dispose of kachim and the truma on Yom Tov. So what are you meant to do with a dough which happens to be tummy? How do you address the chala chiv? Says the Mishnah, Ketzav Nafishin Chal B'tum B'yomtev. So you have three sheetahs. Leza Omer, Leitikru L'Hashem Acha Toifa. You know what? The Isha should not separate the Chal. She shouldn't give it a shame Chal until she bakes it. She bakes the entire batch. You can do that, says Rashi, because we don't know which one is going to be Chal. Theoretically, each one will be eaten by the person, right? So that allows you to bake everything. And then after you bake it, now there's no longer chametz concern. Now you mafresh challah. According to Rabbi Lezer, you can't be mafresh when it's still in the dough stage, because then you have to leave it on the side and become chametz, and you're responsible. You have a chrayis that shouldn't become chametz. Therefore, better go ahead and bake the whole batch and then do the challah. Even though the chatchila you meant to do challah when it's in the dough stage, but here this is the preferred manner. The Maseir Omer Tatal B'tzayin. He says no, you can't bake it because. Perhaps he holds that if you know with certainty that something, this challah portion in this dough will not be edible, then you can't just go ahead and bake everything. You know, I'll bake something which is not going to be eaten. So rather than do that, tatal b'tzayin, separate the challah portion when it's in the dough stage and immerse it in cold water to prevent it from becoming chametz. Apparently, Rabbi Lezer holds, let's not rely on that, the chatchila. Tosis points out that, but the evidence, of course, all agree you can do that. But the Chatchila Reb Lezer prefers baking it to avoid all concerns becoming chametz. Amar Rav Yishua, he disagrees. He says, why are you concerned about this dough becoming chametz? And you go and you're baking it. Loi zehu chametz shemusar nolav bal yor bal yimotzeh. This is not the type of chametz that a person is obligated, is forewarned with the lav bal yor bal yimotzeh. It's not yours. Let's see Rashi on top. Loi zehu chametz shemusar nolav. Kavash to Gemara. The Gemara will explain. The love did dayu. It's not his. Lachash kor l'ashem. After he gave it the name chala, who's it belong to? It's no longer mine. Ukroksiv. We have a pasuk which says shocha yataroya. Lo yiro l'chosar. Right? It has to be yours. V'zeinu shocha. It's not yours. Lo shocha vercha. Nor is it your friends. Da kate l'matz la'koyin. It's not even the koyin. Hadn't yet been given to the koyin. So why are we concerned about the chala turning into chametz? Separate the challah in its dough stage. Let it become chametz. Ella mafreshasa manachasa aderev. She's mafresh the dough. She leaves it until nightfall. Mechmitza chmitza became chametz. So be it. So we have three shittas. Kotor Belezer, he is concerned about this thing becoming chametz. For some reason, he considers it to be your responsibility. You can't allow this challah portion to become chametz. Rather, go ahead and bake it. And that you can do. It's not yet challah, it's not yet designated. Everything potentially can be eaten by the owner. So go bake it and then do the challah. Mishra says, put it in the cold water. Mishra says, just separate and leave it alone. It's not yours in any case. You have no chiv al yorba imatz. So what's the point of machlekes between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Mishra? Rabbi Lezer is concerned about the chametz. Rabbi Mishra is not. Lema b'tevis hanoka mefluki. Tevis hanoka means that the Yisrael owner is allowed to receive some sort of compensation, a token payment, to direct his truma or his chal to a specific coin. Suppose the relative of that coin will approach Yisrael and say, look, I have a relative who can use some truma. Here, take a token amount, take some a small amount of money, and direct your matanis kuna to him. That's called Teves Hano. So Yisrael can do that, accept that. The question is, due to that allowance, is it considered as though he really, the fact that he has that financial interest in the Truma Nechala, he can gain some benefit, he can have some Hanah from it. Does that make it his? That financial interest, is that equal to ownership? That's the point of machlekes. This challah, for which Yisrael can accept some token payment, in order to direct it to a specific kohen, does that make it his? The fact that he has that financial interest. According to Reb Lezer, yes. According to Reb Yeshua, no. Therefore, Reb Lezer is concerned about it becoming chametz. It's like yours. Perhaps that's the pshat. Lema b'tevis hanah kamifliki. Perhaps the machlekes revolves around the nature and status of tevis hanah. The Reb Lezer savar tevis hanah mamon. The fact that he has that tevis hanah capability, it makes it his mamon. It can't become chametz. It's his. Rabbi Shua savar tevis hanah ain't a mamon. No, it's not considered money. It's a residual hanah. It's not considered a true financial interest. Therefore, it's not his, and he can let him become chametz. Is that the pshat? Malay? No. Not necessarily. The kuli alma tavisan tavi tavisan no enamon. Perhaps all agree that's not considered enough to be considered your mom. So what is machlekes? V'hacha behoyel kamifliki. The question is, do we apply hoyel since? What does that mean? The blazer summer. I'm reading. We say like this: hoyel he boy itshola. Should he make this chal? Can he still undo that? Yes. Rashi explains that all types of things which get activated by verbal expression, by dibur, a neder, a truma, kachem, there's a simple way out. He goes to the Rav and undoes that dibur, like a Hataras Nedar. So Reb Lezer says, even after you separated as chala, you still have potential access. You can undo the chala status. That makes it yours. Reb Lezer says, I'm reading the hoyel. If you would wish, you can go ahead and be shoyel. Go undo that nether. Go undo that challah. And make it ordinary dough. Remove the challah status. Due to that capability, it is considered his. Since he always has that option to bring it back home. Therefore, even once it became challah, it's still considered his. And it can't become chametz. Rabbi Shua Savar, lo yamin hoyel. We don't say this hoyel concept. Right now, it's challah. It's challah. It's not yours. So that explains the machlekes namish. The Gemara will proceed with another similar concept of hoyel. Itma. Oifem yamtiv l'chayel. A person should bake something on yamtiv. After he finished eating, he no longer needs this baked good for today, for yamtiv. He's doing it for the sake of a weekday, for tomorrow. Rav Chisda amar like it. He gets malchus. Pasuk says, lois sasako malacha. This is not echel nefesh, this is for tomorrow. Rabba ma'ini like it. There's no malchus. Rav Chisda amar like it. Why? What do you mean, hoyel? We don't say hoyel. Umikli le'orchem, chazile. Since if guests would arrive, they would need it, right? So potentially, it has use, has echel nefesh purpose on yontif. We don't say that. We don't say since if guests would arrive, chazile. That makes it suitable. That makes it roif for yontif. That gives it a status of echel nefesh. We don't say that. Bottom line is, right now he doesn't need it. He's not expecting any guests. It's a malacha. Rabba Amar, ain't like it. There's no malchus. Why? I'm reading hoyel. We play hoyel. If guests would unexpectedly arrive, would they need this food? Yeah. So technically, this thing can serve a yomtiv purpose. So there's no malchus. It's not called a malacha. So again, Rav Chisda says, it gets malchus. There's no hoyel. Rabba says, there is no malchus. We apply hoyel. Amalei Rabba Rav Chisda, the didach damers. According to you, now you say lo yamrin hoyel. You don't apply hoyel. If that's the case, heich oifin miyamtiv l'shabbos. How does a person bake on yamtiv for tomorrow for Shabbos? We know that it's something called erev tavshila, but that's only a derabbanan. How would you address the issa d'orais? According to you, baking on yamtiv for the sake of tomorrow for Shabbos involves the malacha of leis aska malacha. So according to me, I apply hoyel. Well, maybe some guests would arrive, so technically I'm not doing a malacha. But according to you, how's it mutter? Amar le. So Rav Chisda responded, mishum eruv tavshilin. Very simple. He made an eruv tavshilin. So he separated some food yesterday. He began cooking for Shabbos before Yom Tov. And on Yom Tov, he's simply continuing that process. So that allows. So he says, "Meshum eruv tavshilin, shavin yisur deraisa." According to you, it's isur deraisa. On account of the eruv tavshilin arrangement, it's going to be matir isur deraisa.
How could I do that?
Omarle, so he told him like this. There's no deraisa concern, because midaraisa, tzurich is Shabbos nasa biyontif. Really, you can cook something for Shabbos. The needs of Shabbos can be accomplished on yontif. Rashi brings that yontif and Shabbos are both called Shabbos, Shabbos, whatever. The term Shabbos applies to both equally. They're both considered the same type of kedusha. Chada kedusha, he Rashi says. So technically, cooking on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos poses no concern whatsoever. That's Minat Torah. Now, the Rabbanon, who do Gazrubay, Rabbanon applied Gzer. They didn't allow that. Gzer or Shema Yenbu. They said, well, if a person will cook and bake on Yom Tov for Shabbos tomorrow, people will say, Gzer or Shema Yenbu, Oifin, Yom Tov Aflachel. You can also bake on Yom Tov for Lachel, for a weekday. That's all you can't do. This is the Raisa. So, with Rabbanon, we don't allow baking on Yom Tov, even for the sake of Shabbos. Now, how do we address the Rabbanon concern? By Erev Tavshilin. V'chivin, that's Rechu, Rabbanon, Erev Tavshilin. Since Rabbanon required the Erev Tavshilin to be established, that addresses the concern. Islay, Hekera, it creates a Heker, a recognition. It demonstrates to all that, look, this is not just just cooking on Yom Tov for a different day, which might lead to confusion. Look, I began cooking yesterday, I'm just resuming the process. That creates a hacker. It shows that Yom Tov is unique and special. You can't just freely bake on Yom Tov for any day. It needs to conform to certain guidelines. And indeed, you can only bake on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos. So the bottom line is that according to both shittas, Rav and Rav Chisda, Midat Torah, you may prepare something on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos tomorrow. And it's based on different reasons. Rav is because of the Hoyel concept, because perhaps some guests might still arrive today. So Midat Torah is no Isser. Midat Rabbanan is still Asser, because he might go and prepare on Yom Tov for Chayil, therefore the Erev Tavshilin is required. And according to Chizda, Midat Torah, you can go ahead and prepare something on Yom Tov for tomorrow Shabbos, because Shabbos and Yom Tov are one and the same Kedusha. That's Midat Torah. Midat Rabbanan, you must refrain. The Erev Tavshilin addresses that concern. Now, interesting, Tosfos points out that there is still an Nafka Mina, the difference between Rav and Rav Chizda. Let's say it's right before Shkia. It's at the end of Yom Tov. And you know that this food that you're cooking will not be edible. It won't be enough time for it to be consumed today. Even if some Erechim arrive, it won't be useful. So according to Rabba, who's basing his Heter on Hoyel, it won't apply in this case. And even with an Erev Tavshilin, it won't help matters, because the Erev Tavshilin only addresses the Issa D'Rabbanan. You want to address, is it a raisa? There's a possible sasaka malacha. So what is hoyel? There's enough time that theoretically the food can be consumed by guests. Fine, there's no is it a raisa. But when it's close enough to the end of Yom Tov, when hoyel doesn't apply, then it's also not term. Whereas according to Rav Chisda, who learns that the heter is because of the pas, because of the fact that Shabbos and Yom Tov are similar in nature, and you can go ahead and cook on one for the sake of the other. So even if it's at the last moment of Yom Tov, no concern, you let it cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So that's the deraisa concern, and the Sedra Rabbanan, the Gzer, is addressed by Erev Tavshilin. So even if it's a minute before Shkia, if he has an Erev Tavshilin, he can go ahead and prepare on Yom Tov for the sake of tomorrow Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Esvei. So Rabbi asked Rav Chisda another kasha. Beheima Masukenes, lo yishchet. Brisa says a person has an animal who's in a precarious state of health. He's afraid that's going to die and become asa and avela. It's Yom Tov. Lo yishchet, he can't shecht it to salvage his animal. Ella, unless, kedei sheyochel lechol himenu kazayis tzoli moidyoim. Unless there's enough time available to still eat a kazayis, at least, of this animal. Roast it, so it's a very quick preparation process. There's enough time even for that. To eat a kazayis tzoli moidyoim, then go ahead and shecht it. So that's the Brice. Yochel lechel. So Brice is saying, if he could eat, afkav loy moil mechel, even though he has no interest in eating. He's full, he just had his meal. Now, Bishlam is the, so this is Rav Chisda speaking, Rav speaking. According to me, the Amri Hoyel, that we apply Hoyel. So here as well, we'll say, Hoyel, vi boil mechel, matzi ochel. Since if he should want to eat, he can eat. There's enough time to make food available for this, from this animal. That explains why he can shecht it. Oil is applied. El de dach, but according to you, Rav Chisda, who doesn't apply oil, the Amr is, lo yamin oil, amai yishchet. How can you shecht this animal? He's not interested in eating. Oil, if he would want to eat, that doesn't help matters. Amalei. So Rav Chisda responded, Mishum hefzid mamayna. We allow it on account of the hefzid moment, on account of the tremendous loss that he's going to experience. Oh, Mishum hefzid money shavina yisur deraisa? How can that be? Due to a financial loss, we're going to be mat isa deraisa? Amalach an yotif. Amalei. So Rav Chisda responded, no, that's not what I meant. In. Yes, Mishum hefzid mamayna gora beliboy. Lechel kazayis. What I meant is that on account of the loss that he's about to face, he's going to force himself to eat a kazayis. Gomer b'liboy. He makes up his mind. Lechel kazayis. To force himself to eat a kazayis. Now, once he's going to eat a kazayis, then that allows him to shecht a behemah. Because the efshel kazayis basal is shchita. You can't have a kazayis without shchita. So, he's speaking that he's actually going to eat that kazayis. And that allows him to do shchita on this cover. Okay, let's make a quick chazar on today's daf. We began back with the Mishnah that discussed the dough stuck in the bowl, and the Gemara tells us that what the Mishnah means, that the same halacha applies to Tumah is as follows. On Pesach, we depend on the shear. If it's a kazayis, then it has significance due to the issur. Throughout the rest of the year, then it doesn't depend on shear, rather it's kepeda related. It depends on his mindset and attitude. We have three approaches. We have Abaye, who says that we apply this concept regarding tziruf oichlin. So we have less than a kebetza, which is trying to attach itself to that piece of dough. The question is that dough considered part of the bowl, a kli, and is not oichl, or is it separate from the kli and considered oichl? Rabbi said the application is pertaining to being toivel the kli. Do we consider that dough as a chatzitza or not? And Rav Papa says it's regarding being metame the kli. So sheretz touched the dough. Is that dough considered food separate from the kli and the kli remains tar? Or do we say that the dough is considered part and parcel of that kli and the kli now became tummy? So the one says depends. If it was on Pesach, then if the dough has a kazayis, it's considered separate from the kli due to its significance and prominence and it's not bottled in the kli. Throughout the rest of the year, then it depends if he's makpid. If he wants it removed, then it's considered separate, considered food. If he's not makpid, but wants it to remain in place, considered part of the kli. We proceeded with the batzik achirish, and we said that if you can compare it to another dough, which was produced within the same time frame, and that dough has become chametz, then this dough as well is treated as chametz. Otherwise, the rule of thumb is a shear mill, which is 18 minutes. The Gemara told us about four cases where we apply the four mill formula. The gavel, the fellow preparing the dough b'tahara, he has to go be matar the kelim if he can find a mikvah within 4 mil. Those skins which were trampled upon a shear of 4 mil, 72 minutes, are no longer matame. And how far must the traveler travel to find a minyan of water for the tilsadayim, for the suda? So if it's along the same route, up until 4 mil, he has to go out of his way. Only if it's less than a mil. The Mishnah told us, what happens if a person happens to have some dough, which is tummy, and it's Pesach? How does he separate the challah portion? Well, as it says, just bake the entire batch. And then separate your challah. But Mesera says, separate it as dough, and take that challah portion and put it into cold water to prevent chimetz. Rabbi Shua says, separate it as dough, don't worry about the chimetz. It's in any case not yours. Why does Rabbi Lezer regard it as yours? Says the Gemara, because he holds a oil. Potentially, it can revert back to its original stage. He can go be mater, that nether. He can go remove the challah status. So since he has theoretical access, we consider it to be his. And therefore, he can't allow it to become chametz. He has to bake it first to remove any chametz concerns. We proceeded with a similar concept of hoyl. We have a case where a person baked on Yom Tov for the sake of an ordinary weekday. Does he get malchus? According to Rabbah, no malchus. Because of hoyl. Perhaps some unexpected guests will arrive. They'll need it. So it's considered to be eichel nefesh. According to Chizna, he gets malchus. We don't apply hoyl. The Gemara concluded that all would agree in the following case. If it's Yom Tov, and he's preparing for tomorrow, which is Shabbos, if not Torah, it's Mutter. because either we apply Hoyel, or because Shabbos and Yom Tov are so close in nature, it's Chada Kedushi, which allows preparing on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos. However, Midr Rabbanon, you can't go ahead and do that. We're concerned that he'll go ahead and prepare on Yom Tov for a weekday, which he can't. So the only way he can do so, the only way he can prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos, is by establishing the Erev Tavshim. Be well, Hatzlacha Rabbah.